I apologize if that was a mistake of last week. We misjudged. We thought there was going to be a major snowstorm. That's why we canceled this year. It turned out that there was not. Okay. 2 weeks ago, we left off in the Gemara on Nun Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quoted a long brisa. Brisa begins on the last line on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. The topic under discussion is a ger and his gayer with other members of the family. A non-Jew converted and other members of the family converted as well. Is he permitted to marry these people or not? So Min HaTorah, Rashi explains on the top line, the principle is Gershin is Gar Kotin Shanoi Ladomi. Once he converts, he's not related to any of the previous relatives. And Min HaTorah, he's permitted to marry, even though they're biologically related, he's permitted to marry his mother, his daughter, his sister, everything goes. Everything is permissible. In the Midrabanan, they forbid him from marrying. The question is why? What prompted the Chacham? And this Bryce is going to go into the details of whom is he forbidden to marry the Rabbanan. So the long Tosfos on Ches and Aleph discusses what is the reason why the Chachamim prohibited this. The Tosfos has a problem. There seems to be a contradiction between two Gemaras. Our Gemara is implying, and Rashi spells it out explicitly, that the reason why the Ger is forbidden to marry these relatives is Shelo Yomru, that's the top line in the Tosfos. Spirish Akuntris, the top line in the Tesis Nun Ches Min Aleph, Rashi comments, Shaloyom Abonim Ikdusha Chamuro, the Kdusha Kala. That since he was forbidden to marry these relatives before he converted, because one of the Sheven Mitzvahs been in Erech is Gili Arai, so they have a whole table of relatives that they're not allowed to marry. It doesn't exactly correspond 100%, doesn't correspond 50% either. Some of them correspond to our table of Gili Arai. It doesn't correspond. In other words, our table of Gilead Rice is much bigger than theirs. They don't have any relatives that are forbidden, that are mutter by us. That doesn't exist. But we have many relatives that are forbidden that by them are mutter. So they have a smaller list of Gilead Rice. So those that were forbidden from before the time that he converted, if we'll leave things as they were on the level of their Rice, and permit the Ger to marry all of these blood relatives based on the principle of their Rice, and Ger Shin Gar Kachaladami, it'll come out of Shanda, it'll come out of Busha Bizoyan, that the Nochri will be able to say, Bonam Ikdusha Hamura, the Kdusha Kala. While we were non-Jews, we had to have such a high level of religious observance. Now that we converted, everything goes, we can do whatever we want. We got to marry the women that before we were forbidden to marry. There's a justification, there's an explanation, halachically speaking, Kotin Shiravadam. But the common sense that this is hard to explain that, but that's why the rabbis forbid it. That seems to be the background of the whole prohibition of the Rabbanan and Arsu. And Tosfos has a problem. There is a Gemara in Yevamah Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, which seems to contradict this reason. In Yevamah Daf Chav Beis, the Gemara discusses a similar related question. Let's say two brothers converted. And now they both want to come and testify. We're having a chasenis, and we want them to serve as the Eid of Kiddushin, to serve as the Eid of Manikzubit. So we have one of the rules is that two brothers together are pasulaitis. A person cannot testify for or against the brother, and the two brothers together are suleitis, to testify together. So min HaTorah, it is permissible because Gershon and Zgar Kachanel are not considered brothers anymore. The Gemara raised the question, did the rabbis institute a din of the Rabbanon forbidding them to testify just like the ger is not permitted to marry his sister because midirabbanan. So for some reason or another midirabbanan. So should we apply that reason to Kabbalah status as well? To say that the two brothers may not testify. So the Gemara says no. What's the comparison? By getting married, the brother with the sister, there's a concern. Everybody's getting married. You don't go to ask Shilas always by the Rabbanim if you're allowed to marry this girl. So they're going to see that a brother is going to marry a sister, or a boy is going to marry his aunt. So people won't all understand, the layman won't understand that this is because there's a din gershon iskar kashon al dam. They're going to think you're a lot of this. Religious Jew, a religious man, a ger tzedek, a religious man, he goes and he marries his aunt, he goes and he marries his sister, he marries his daughter. So people will think that for some reason or another it's permissible to marry a sister, a daughter, an aunt, or whatever, a mother. So that's why they had a prohibited midirabbanon, bilma asi lechlufe din Yisrael. That if we'll let them marry relying on Gershon and Gar Kotin Shel Adam, which is a fine point of the halacha, the layman won't realize that that's what it's based on. They'll think for some reason or another that there's no prohibition of relatives getting married. But as far as Kabbalah Sages is concerned, you don't have Kabbalah Sages just like this. Kabbalah Sages coming and testifies only always done under the auspices of a Bezna of Rabbanim, even a Chassanet. The Rabbanim check who the Eidim are. They ask if they're supposed to ask if they're related. They're supposed to ask, sometimes they don't ask. They're supposed to ask if the witnesses are related, if they don't know who they are. So since it's done under Rabbanim, so Eidus is not Nesura Lakol. Eidus is only Nesura LaBezna. It's up to Bezna to determine whether they're going to accept the Eidus or not. So since it's only Nesura LaBezna, so you don't have that concern that a mistake may come out of it. So Tosfos quotes, so you see from that Gemara in Yeromim is Daf Chavei, that the reason why the rabbis instituted the prohibition of the Rabbanim that the ger is not permitted to marry the blood relatives, despite the fact that the Nater is permissible, the reason why they asked it in the Rabbanim has nothing to do with Shema Yom Rabbanim Kedusha Chamor Kedusha Kala, as our Gemara implies, but rather for totally different reasons, because Bil Masi Bichlufa Yisrael, that it will allow the ger, with a religious man, to marry his aunt or his sister, people will think the Jews, the regular Jews will think they're allowed to marry their aunt, they're allowed to marry their sister as well. But Tosfos says, Bob, but how do these two Gemaras jive? The Gemara gives two different reasons for the rabbinical prohibition that the ger is not allowed to marry his relative. So Tosfos explains that you need both prohibitions to cover two different areas. Tosfos says, the prohibition of Shema Yoimru, that they shouldn't say, lest there should be a chilal Hashem bonum, mikdusha chamur, mikdusha kalor, that only applies to those relatives that were prohibited the Yosa Nochri. So those relatives he's not allowed to marry now either. But what about those relatives that he was permitted to marry the Yosa Nochri while he was a non-Jew? It's a very short list of Gilead rights. So those relatives that were mutter the Yosa Nochri can't apply the principle of bonum, mikdusha chamur, mikdusha kalor. So that's covered. So nonetheless, he's not allowed to marry those relatives. And that's for the other reason, Dil Masa de Chlufa B'Yisrael, lest the Jews will make a mistake and think that they're allowed to marry the relatives. I once you have that reason, Dil Masa de Chlufa, so what do you need the other reason for? Shall the Yom HaGodim with Dusha Chamur, with Dusha Kala? The Taisha says, no. There is a Gemara in Yivamas on Daf Tzadik Zayin. They quote everything. There is a Gemara in Yivamas Daf Tzadik Zayin where the Gemara says that by Nochrim, there's only relatives on the mother's side. There's no such thing as relatives on the father's side. The expression the Gemara uses is Rahmana, the Torah. The Gemara always calls the Torah Rahmana. Rahmana afkirei lezare. The Torah was mafkir, the zera habaal. So the children are not mesiaches after the father. And the Gemara spells that there in Yivam Adab Tadizayin. Don't think that it's because the Nochrim Ashtufei Zimra. And you never can know for sure who the father of the child is. The Gemara says, no. What do you do if you have identical twins? You know for sure that they have the same father, same mother. They're identical twins. They look exactly alike. Nonetheless, even though you know that they're identical twins and biologically they clearly had the same father, the same blood type, everything exactly the same. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, the halacha says, the Gemara quotes it, right, that they're not considered related. It's halacha, and learn that from a pasuk. The Zir Masusim Zir Masam, that Rahmana Afgrei Lizari. The Nochrim only have relatives on the mother's side. There's no such thing as relatives on the father's side. So the Gemara says there in Yivam is therefore by the Gershon is Gayer. The Hamoinam knows this. The non-Jews know it, and the Jews know it, that by the Nochrim they don't have any relatives on the father's side. The relatives on the father's side don't count. So there's no concern of Dil Masi Bechlufa B'Yisrael, if you'll permit the ger to marry some relatives that he has from the father's side, that'll be okay. The Jews will never think that they're allowed, let's say, to marry the father's sister, marry the father's sister. No problem. The Jews will think that they're allowed to marry the father's sister also. No, everybody knows, the Nochrim know, the Yisraelim know, the Yehudim know, that the Nochri doesn't have any Mishpachastav. It doesn't count at all. By them, it's commonly accepted like that, that they have no mishpachasav, and by us we know that the Nochrim don't have mishpachasav. So that's why you need the reason in our Gemara that in case there is some relative from the father's side that the Nochri is not allowed to marry, it's on the list of forbidden arayis, so then it'll be forbidden for the ger to marry that erva, that relative, because of shelo yom avadim kedusha chamur kedusha kal. So Taisi says you need the two reasons. The reason that Bil Masa de Chlufa B'Yisrael comes to prohibit all the relatives on the mother's side, even those that the Nochri was permitted to marry the Yosa Nochri, with the reason of Shelo Yomer doesn't apply. But that reason, Dilmos of the Chuz Nisod, doesn't apply at all to any relatives on the father's side. Because in common sense, and Loshem and Yodam, we say the Nochri has no mishpacha for the father's side. But we still need the additional reason of Shelayom, Abonim, Kedush, Achamot, and Shekala to prohibit those single relatives from the father's side that were also the Yos and Nochri. That's what the Tosfos says. You look in the Rambam, there's a famous difficulty when he quotes this Gemara. The Rambam doesn't quote the two reasons. This is Akansa Shtik of Torah, this is Shir Klovin. There's a steer between the two sugyas, and the Torah says you need an Afkaminis in this direction, that direction. So this reason covers all of that, and that reason covers that. And if you have a case where neither reason applies, then it's Takamut. That's what Tosfos makes a whole pilgrim. The Rambam doesn't have like that. The Rambam must have taken it that it's a contradiction between the two Gemaras, Alpi Pashmas. One Gemara gives one reason, one Gemara gives the other reason. Dil Masa the Chlufa b'Yisrael, or the concern in the Shelo Yom Rabbanim Kedusha Chamor L'Kedusha Kala. So the Rambam only quotes the reason, Shelo Yom Rabbanim Kedusha Chamor L'Kedusha Kala. He doesn't quote the other reason of Dil Masa the Chlufa. And nonetheless, the Rambam is very startling. He gives you the list of forbidden relatives of the Nochri, and he gives you the list twice, so there's no mistake over here. Lest you make a mistake, so the Rambam has it. He has all of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in Hilchos Malachim. So the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim is officially the correct title is Hilchos Malachim U'Melcham Oseyah. The laws of the Jewish kings and the way they're supposed to wage war, because that's one of the main functions of a king, is Lilchom Melcham Hashem. So that's the official title of the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim U'Melcham Oseyah. On the top of the page, as they keep on printing, so they just write the kids in Hilchos Malachim. But on the first page, when he started off, it's called Hilchos Malachim U'Melcham Oseyah. So the Rambam writes about the point, the mitzvah to appoint a king. We learned in the second parak, in Perek Ein Gadol, there's a mitzvah to appoint the Jewish king. And this goes in order. Lahamed Lehemelach, Lahachiz Arishal Amalek, Lidnas Beit Abchiri, he quotes that is Shalosh Mitzvahs. Then he makes a difference between Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Beis David, several differences between them. Then he talks about the kavod that you give to the king. And so on, all the different dinim of the king. Then he talks about Melchama, Hilchos Malachim U'Melcham Oseyah, he talks about Melchamas Mitzvah, Melchamas Roshus. Then he says, when you have to wage war, Lo Shachai Kol Neshama, you have to wipe out the Zionims, you have to wipe out Amalek, there's nothing to discuss, you have to wipe them out. If you wage other wars, then you have to see to it that the enemy should accept the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enech. If they're not prepared to accept Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enech, you have no brerit. You have to go wipe them out. But if they do accept Sheva Mitzvahs, then it's okay. So he says, which are the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enech? So he writes the whole history of the world. So he writes, Adam Marishan was given six mitzvahs because he wasn't permitted to eat flesh. He had to be a vegetarian. He was only allowed to eat fruits and vegetables. Then after the Mabul, then it was permissible for Noach to eat flesh, and then the mitzvah of Eivim and Achai was given to Noach. And that's why we call it the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Why do we call it the Sheva Mitzvahs of B'nei Adam Arishan? Because Adam Arishan only had six, he didn't have seven. So the seventh was given, that's how the Rambam quotes from the one. The seventh mitzvah of Eivim and Achai was only given to Noach. So from that time on, it's called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Then the Rambam says that's the way the world was going until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Nilo, and he instituted Tefillah Shachar. Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah, he was given the opportunity to be Mafresh Maisris, and he quotes a medrash like that. So Rashi quotes from the medrash, what do you mean? 100 times as much grew as he expected. How did he make a cheshbon how much is going to grow? He was making an oimid lemaisis. He was approximating it. How much does he think he's going to have to give for Chumas and Maisris? It's going to have to be 100 times as much. You see that Yitzchak was Yifish Maisris. If you don't have the mitzvahs, it's not Shaykh. Let's say a chutz l'oretz, I'll be Mafish Maisris. I'll buy furniture and I'll be Mafish Maisris on the furniture. I'll be Mafish Maisris on glasses. It's not Shaykh, it's not Chal Maisris. So what good is it that Yitzchak was Yifish Maisris? Obviously that mitzvah was given to him. The Rambam quotes the Medrash Rabbah, a gracious Rabbah like that. Yitzchak was given the opportunity to be Mafish Maisris and he instituted Tfilas Mincha. And Yankif was given the mitzvah of Gid Anasha. And he instituted Tfilas Maariv. So that's the way it went until the days of Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, Amram in Eretz Mitzrayim was a Navi, and he was given a couple of mitzvahs. So the Mepharshim say, it must be a Medrash somewhere, they don't know where it is. We don't know where it is. Not the Gemara, not the Midrashim that we know. That Amram was given additional mitzvahs. And then he said, and then we're given the mitzvah of Chodesh Elohim, then we're given the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, then we're given the mitzvah of Tfilin. All right, then you go in order. And then they were given B'moro, Nitztavu, Al-Kibud Aviyem, and they were given Shabbos, and they were given Dinim, okay, until they came to Har Sinai, and everything was given. So the Rambam gives you the whole history of the world as far as the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, as far as the development of all the Mitzvahs. So then he gives you all the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch in Chazazel, because it's relevant the Hilchos Malachim and the Mohammedan to explain what are the Mitzvahs that the Nochim have to accept upon themselves. So that's why he starts Perek Tes. He starts with the six mitzvahs, Shenetzavu, Bohem, Odom, Arishon, and then after the Mabul, Merch was given the additional mitzvah. So then he has in Perek Tes, in Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Hei, he says only six arayas are forbidden for the Bnei Merch. One is Mishkav Zohar, alright, that we know, that has nothing to do. One is Mishkav Behema, okay, that's not a relative. The third one is Eish Zish. Those three are out of the way. So there are only six, so there's only left with three relatives. Only three relatives. Three of the Gilearites have nothing to do with the relatives. So the three relatives that are us are the mother, Ha'em, Eishes Ha'av, the stepmother, in other words, the father's wife, not his mother, and Achoso Mehimo, the sister. And everything else is Mutter. So there are only basically three relatives of us. That's the whole list of forbidden marriages that are due to relatives. The others are not the Eshishish and the Mishkav Zoch and the Mishkav Behema. That's not relatives. Those are the three. And then he repeats this. And that's what he writes in Hilchas Malachim. Then he has this repeated again in Hilchas Isuri Biyo. The Rambam has in Hilchas Isuri Biyo, he lists off all the relatives that the Jews are not allowed to marry, and the Jews are not allowed to marry a Mamzeres, not allowed to marry Amoinim, Ayobi, Mitzri, Ve'adayimi, Shain. Then he says, Kohanim are not allowed to marry Grusha, Vahalutza, Shain, Zayin, Vahalol, the Kangol is not allowed to marry an Almonim. Then he says, you're not allowed to intermarry, you're not allowed to marry a Nochris, you're not allowed to marry another Kanaini. But if the Nochri or the Nochris converts, then you're allowed to marry them. So he has all of Hilchas Geiris, all of Hilchas conversion. He smuggled in, he had to put it somewhere. So he puts all the Dinim of Geiris in the middle of Hilchas Yisuri Diyah. And then he tells you what's a ger tzedek, and what's a ger toshav. So the Derech Agav gives you a ger toshav is not a convert. Ger toshav is the remains of Nachri Gom. But there are a couple of halachas where the ger toshav has a special status. So he puts all Hilchas ger toshav over here. So, pardon me? Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to marry a ger. Even a Kohen Hedyot, no Kohan is not permitted to marry a ger. He lists it off. He quotes that in Mishnah Yevamos. A Kohen is not permitted to marry a Geor. Ezehi Zayna Hamor Abataris. And the Mishnah says a Gioris is considered a Zayna. So the Rambam over here, when he's telling you all about the laws of Geirus, he says you're not allowed to intermarry unless the non-Jew converts, then he's not intermarried, then it's Mutter. And then he says when he converts, and he tells you, who are the relatives who were forbidden for the Nochri to marry the Osa Nochri? And he says, as we explained in Hilchos Malachim and Mohammed, this is in Perek Yud Dalit, Halacha Yud. And he gives you the same list of six, exactly the same, no mistake. Shara Rais Matoris, Matorim Lehem. He says, there are only six relatives that are forbidden. He says, the mother, the sister, and Eish Esav, the mother, the stepmother, and the sister. And then the Eishasish, Mishkav Zohar, Mishkav Behem, Kamoshi, Yisbar, Hilchas Malachim, Melcham, Aseyev, as he's going to explain. And then he says, after the Nochri converts, Minatar, he's permitted to marry all of the relatives, not allowed to marry the Eishasish, or the Mishkav Zohar, Mishkav Behem, but those that are forbidden because of a kurva, because of a relationship, he's allowed to marry Minatar, Gershon, Isgar, Kakot, and Shinola, Dami, but Midrabbanon is not permitted, Kadesh, Allah, Yomar, Bonam, Bidusha, Hamuro, the Kedusha Kaala, he only quotes that reason, that's an Allah in his base. They'll say, Emesh, yesterday, Hoysalo, Zua, Surah, Bahayom, Uteres. So we don't allow that. So he says, Ketsa, Dina, Gerim, Ba'arais, and what's the bottom line, what's the Allah? So he gives you the list of relatives whom the Ger, the non-Jew converted, a Jewish man and a non-Jewish man and woman converted, they were related before. There was a relationship, and then they both converted. So it gives you the list, which relatives is he not allowed to marry after he converts. Midirabbana Shalayama doesn't correspond living and dead to the list that he just gave 10 lines before. Allah Yud, he gives you the list. There are only three relatives that are forbidden. From the six Arayas, one is Eishishish, and one is Mishkav Zohar, one is Mishkav Behemoth, that's not in the running. So the only three that are forbidden because the relatives are the mother and the stepmother and the sister. But then when he gives you the list of relatives that are forbidden for the gear, it doesn't correspond. He says the Eisha Sovi is the stepmother, he's allowed to marry. If they both converted, he's allowed to marry her later on. And then he says, but the mother's sister, his aunt, he's not allowed to marry later on. Even though the mother's sister was Mutar Bi'os Anochri. And even though the stepmother was also Bi'os Anochri. So that's what all the Mefarshim, no one knows what's going on over here. So nothing corresponds. It's clearly not like Tosfos, it's clear. Rama doesn't quote both reasons, he only quotes Shelah Yom, Abadim Kedusha Chamor, Kedusha Kalo. And then the list of Arayas that are forbidden after he converts does not correspond, not, it's different Lahakal or Lahakmeh. The stepmother was forbidden to the Nachri, the Oso Nachri, and after he converts, he's allowed to marry the stepmother. And the mother's sister was permitted to marry the Oso Nachri, and after he converts, not allowed to marry. So what's the pshat in the Rama? It's very paradox. I remember when we learned Sanhedrin and Rav Soloveitchik thought that the pshat has to be, yeah, very often like this. The Gemara has a gzeirim in the Rabbanon. And the Gemara gives you a reason. What prompted the Chachamim to make a gzeirim in the Rabbanon? But very often, most of the time, the reason the motivation for the Gzeir Rabbanon does not necessarily correspond to the nature of the Din Rabbanon. You have a lot of times like that. You have a Leitzlug Rabbanon. You have a Leitzlug Rabbanon where the Gzeir applies even in cases where the reason doesn't apply. And sometimes you have the Chachamim, when they made the Din Rabbanon, they were interested in pattern, in making the Din Rabbanon. They should pattern the Din Rabbanon. Called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun. The pattern after Din Rabbanon. But sometimes in their desire to pattern the Din Rabbanon after the Din Daraisa, even though they had a certain concern, they were worried about a certain hashash, but a lot of times when they made Gzeri, Kane Daraisa, it doesn't cover all the cases. There are cases where there's still a hashash that someone's going to violate the Din Daraisa, and it wasn't covered by the Gzeri. And the Gzeri covers even other cases where there's no hashash. A lot of times you have a difference, Bein Lahakal, Bein Lahakma, between what motivated the Chachamim to make the Gzeri, and what the Gzeira actually was, it doesn't always correspond. So here also, the reason for the Gzeira, there are only quotes one reason. Kedei Shelo Yomer, Bodem Kedusha Chamor, Lo Kedusha Kala. He doesn't quote the other time from Yivam Adav Chavei, Dil Masa Dechluf of the Yisrael. Rashi and Adav also puts in Dil Masa Dechluf of the Yisrael. Rashi in the middle of the Daf, right smack in the middle. In the Dibra Maschal, Achacham, Ram Yikaye, so he also puts in Dil Masa Dechluf of the Yisrael. But the Rambam never quotes that time. He only quotes Shelo Yomer Bonim Kedusha Chamor Kedusha Kala. But the Rambam apparently understood Shelo Yomru is what motivated the Chachamim to introduce the Pesach Gzeira. And then Lemaisa, what did they introduce as the Gzeira? So they just said, they didn't say whoever was forbidden from before remains forbidden now, whoever was Materis before remains Materis now. Now you see the next halacha, halacha Yud Gimel. And he goes right there. It doesn't correspond. You have contradictions. Bein Lahakal, Bein Lahachmer. So the Rambam understood Kedei Shelo Yomru is the reason for the Gzeira. The Gzeira was that the Kurvas are carried over. You don't say Kekot Neshanel, I mean, not Torah, you say Gershon has got Kekot Neshanel, but the Rabbani, you don't say Kekot Neshanel, you say the Kurvas remain. The Kurvas remain, the mother's sister, all the relatives from the mother's side, the mother's sister is a relative, happens to be a relative that was Muteris to the Nachri, the Osa Nachri. But it was a relative, it was a Kurva, so the Kurvas remain. And he's not allowed to marry the mother's sister, even after they both converted. But the stepmother, that's the father's wife, that's an Ishkin Kurva. That's from the father's side. So the stepmother is an Ishkin Kurva. So despite the fact that it's Taka Osa for the Benoya, that's one of the three. He only has three forbidden marriages that are based on Kurva. And one of them is a stepmother. But you can't say that it's also because of Kurva's Mishpacha, because the Goy does Nachem don't have any Kurva Mitzad Ha. They only have Mitzad Ha. So what kind of an Issa is Eish HaSav? So it must be a Pesan Huisa. It's not really because it's a relative. Eish HaSav is Osir. So Hashem Eish HaSav is Osir. Even though we don't really consider it a relative. It's not a relative. It's not a blood relative. We don't consider it a relative. So since there was no Kurva to be Mamshich, so after he converts, so what I say Kikot Mishanar Ladami, what are you going to say? No, Shema Yoyim Rabbanim Kedush Hamur Kedush HaKala, so you Mamshich all the Kurvas. This wasn't a Kurva to begin with. Apparently, that's the Rambam sheet, very mystical. That's what all the Nesekel, long like Mishnah here. But there's no mistake, because the Rambam has the list twice, and he gives you a cross-reference. He has it here, in Hilchas Yisurim, Bia Perik Yudalat Allah Yud. He says, Kemoshe Yisbar B'Hilchas Malachim and Muhammad say, there are only three relatives that are Rasa, the mother, the stepmother, and the sister.
He writes it both the same. And then when he gives the Halacha Yud-Gimel, the table of relatives that are forbidden for the ger to marry, there's already a steer in Ben, the same picture. The stepmother he may marry, and the mother's sister he may not marry. Even though Biyosa Nachri is the Chvakir, the Hechreat, you have no choice, you have to say like that. The Rama holds Kedusha lo Yoyru is what motivated the Chachamim to make the Tanaim to make the Zera. Once they made the Zera, the essence of the Zera was that your mamshech the kurvas, that you abolished with the Rabbanon, you did away with the din of Kekot and Shanel Adomi. So whoever was related to him before is considered as if they're still related now. That's the Shita Sarama. Rather, the Rambam quotes in Hilchas, in the Dinim of Malachim, Hilchas Malachim, when he talks about the Gerim, so he quotes the Din that we don't have in the Gemara, that after the Nochri converts, he's still obligated to observe the Din of Kibbut Av Yei Midirabonon, Kidesh Lo Yomer Bonon Bidusha Hamur, the Bidusha Kawa. That's also a Pella. What do you mean, Kadesh Eli Yom Avonim B'dusha Chamur B'dusha Kala B'yosel Nochri, while before he converted there was a mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyah? The Gemara says not so. The Gemara says Kibbut Aviyah, he says in Aser and Sadibet Kabir HaSadich V'smecha Kasher Tzidisicha. So the Gemara says, Lama is Kasher Tzidisicha? Must be the Mara. Kibbut Aviyah is one of the several dinim. Shom Som L'chokom Mishpat V'shom Nisohu. So the Gemara commented before Chokom Mishpat here on Daf Nun Vav on the base. Here was it. What is the Shom Sam Lachok and Mishpah? Which were the several mitzvahs that were given? So the Gemara says Dinim were given. The Gemara says Kibud Av and Shabbos were given, because it says in Shabbos Kasher to Visicha B'Moro, and it says by Kibud Av and Kasher to Visicha, and refers to B'Moro. So you see that the Bnei Noach don't have the mitzvah of Kibud Av. So what does the Rama mean? That after the Nochri converts, he has to still continue to observe the Din of Kibud Av and the Rabbanon, Zere Shelo Yom Rabbanon Mekdusha Hamur or Mekdusha Kala. What do you mean? But B'yosa Nachri, he wasn't mitzvah in the mitzvah of Kibbut Av. Pardon me? So he is obligated to Kibbut Av mitam dinim. Could be, but the whole thing is a chiddush. The whole thing is a chiddush. Right. Ain't a mitzvah. Al pi pashtus, ain't a mitzvah. Yeah. Al pi pashtus, they're not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Kibbut Av. It means they have a little bit. Out of Hakoras HaTayv, a debt of gratitude. Could be, I don't know. So the Pashtus in the Rambam is the same as this Rambam. That Kedesh Eliyom Rabbanakam Dusha Chamur, Dusha Kala doesn't only mean whatever was prohibited before we carry over. No. The Rambam writes the Ferish. By the end, the mother sister was Muteris before, now it's Asur. The stepmother was Asur before, now it's Mutter. And he says Kedesh Eliyom. So what does it mean Kedesh Eliyom? So that's what the Rav said. Kedesh Eliyom means we're mamshich the kurvas. The Rabbanim, we do away with the principle, we're machmer with the Rabbanim, not to follow the kula of Gershon is gar kakot and shalom nam. So the same over here. The Nochrish and his gayer is obligated to keep Rabbiyeh, Kedesh Eliyom. It doesn't mean because he was mitzvah before he was mitzvah, keep Rabbiyeh, he has to continue to observe. It was never mitzvah. But with the Rabbanim, because of Kedesh Eliyom, we are mamshich the kurvas. The mamshich of the kurvas is considered as if he's related to the pair. He has to observe Kibbut Av. Shaz, where does it say this in the Gemara? Where did the Rambam get that from? The Gemara, that's not a Gemara. That's a Medrash Rabbah. In the beginning of Parshas, that's what the disciple of the son has a sefer with Mar Mekremis. And the Rambam, he points out the mocker for that Rambam is in the Voracious Rabbah at the beginning of Lech Mekor. We once spoke about it here when we spoke about the Parshas HaShavua. The Medrash Rabbah says, Lech Mekor Miyartzachor. Rashi points out there in the end of Parshas Nech, the beginning of Lech Lecha, that the father was still alive. Yeah, the psukim are out of order. In the end of Parshas Nech, it sounds as if the father died. Terach, Avi Avram, it sounds as if he died. And then Avram Avinu left Ur Kazdim and he came to Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi points out, you make the calculation of how old he was, 85 when he left. Father was still alive. But the Torah writes it in such a way, as if to imply, as if Terach was no longer alive, and Avraham Avinu did not violate Kibbut Av. But the truth of the matter is that he left the old man. He left his father alone, and he went on Aliyah, Terach, and so on. So the Medrash Rabbah says in that pasuk, I permit you to go and leave your father, but I don't permit anybody else to do that. So what does that mean? What's pshat in the Medrash Rabbah? What's pshat in the Medrash Rabbah? So the Chayyodim quotes this Medrash Rabbah. Chayyodim is the first one or raise the suffix, that's very relevant to manazah, if the children are permitted to go on aliyah against the wishes of the parents. The parents want very much the children to live here. They want to see the children, the grandchildren. They don't want the children to move away. So far away in Eretz Yisrael. They want the children, if they're saying, we don't want you to go to a makom sakana, move to Australia, move to California, move to New Zealand, but don't move to Eretz Yisrael. But that's not kibbutz avim. Parents have no right to run the life of the children. Parents have no right to tell the children, go become a doctor, go become a lawyer, go become a rabbi. The children have a right to leave advice, whatever they want. Parents can give recommendations, but that's not part of kibbutz avim. You're not going to listen to the recommendations of the parents. But if the parents say, we want you to service us, we want you to live near us, and we should get hanor from seeing our children, our grandchildren, we want to play with the grandchildren. So they're asking, kibbutz avim, that is kibbutz avim. They say, we don't want you to move to California either. We don't want you to move to far away. We want you to live in the vicinity. So it should be close, and we should be able to visit you. You should be able to visit us. We don't want that you should live so far away. So the Chayyodim writes in the Sufik, whether there's a mitzvah, usually the mitzvah of kibbutz avim doesn't apply whenever it's in conflict with one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Let's say the father would like a cup of warm coffee on Shabbos, and the only way to give him warm coffee is to give him chal Shabbos. So Rashi and Chumash quotes, "Dishim lo biyakti rovesh apsayse tishmaru." He's not allowed to give him chal Shabbos to fulfill kibbutz avim. Who have been ami any mitzvah? If the kibbutz avim is in conflict with any mitzvah, any other, so there's no mitzvah of kibbutz avim. So the Chayyodim writes, he has a separate sefer on Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. He writes about Trumas and Maisis and Shemitah and the Yovel, everything. So he writes at the end, towards the very end of the sefer, he writes this suffix, would there be a din of kibbutz avim that they shouldn't go on aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? Or should you say no? Kibbutz avim doesn't apply whenever it's in conflict with any mitzvah. So here it's in conflict with the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the tzad to say otherwise? It's mistopic to say maybe the whole mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is not an absolute mitzvah. Everybody has to live in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say a person can only make a living in Chutz Lord. He can make a living in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever, but he works for the American government, a politician. He can't get a job working for Eretz Yisrael. Or let's say he has to move to Chutz Lord. He's in love with a girl and she doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Lil Matur Belisa Yisho. He wants to learn in a yeshiva in Chutz Lord. He doesn't like any of the yeshivas. There are many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. He's in love with the yeshiva Chutz Lord. He's in love with the girl in Chutz Lord. So the Gemara says that little mater b'lisa yeshiva is permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. So what do you see that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is like, if it's reasonable, if a live in Chutz Lord will make $1 million, a live in Eretz will make $500,000, so go live in Eretz Yisrael. But if a live in Chutz Lord will make a living, live in Eretz Yisrael, he won't simply not make a living. He'll have to live off of charity. So then that's not a mitzvah, that's not an option. So that's what the Chayyadim is mistopic to say. Maybe this is not an option either. The mitzvah is, you have a choice to live in Eretz Yisrael and to violate the mitzvah of kibbutz avim. But maybe that's not considered a choice. Maybe maybe there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's not that the mitzvah of kibbutz avim is in conflict with another mitzvah. Since there's an inyan of kibbutz avim, so it's like one who wouldn't make a parnasa if he go to Eretz Yisrael. Or one who won't be able to marry the girl whom he fell in love with. Or one who won't be able to learn in the yeshiva of his choice. He fell in love with this Rebbe, with this yeshiva, he wants dafka to learn here. So there's no choice. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is, if it's a reasonable choice, either to live there or to live here, so then Halacha says, choose to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if it's out of the running, so then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Right, if it's the Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen says if it's great difficulty, so then it's not a choice, right? That's what the later Pasuk say. Avnei Ezer wrote over 100 years ago, so he writes that neither of the considerations of Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen apply today. Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen says that it's Sakonas Drochim. He says today, he writes 100 years ago, today there's no Sakonas Drochim. You can go there itself without any Sakonas. Then Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen says that it's very difficult to observe the mitzvahs of Chuyubar. So Avnei Ezer writes today it's easy. Not so difficult to observe. So he says those two explanations don't, those two justifications not to go don't apply to money. But there may be other reasons, but that person simply can't make a living in Eretz Yisrael. Won't be able to make a living. I remember once years ago I was on a plane going to Eretz Yisrael. So I saw a young fellow walking down the aisle. So he recognized me. He was going in tight, torn jeans. I was going to give him $10 to buy a pair of socks. He didn't have any socks on. So then he says, Shalom Aleichem, he's going with the yarmulke, Shalom Aleichem, do I remember him? I said, you look familiar, he learned in my shir over 30 years ago. So, what are you doing? He tells me he was a successful doctor in Los Angeles, and he made a chase, whatever, $4 million a year or something like that. Some tremendous, I don't know, I can't even count so high. Some tremendous salary he made. And now he lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he has a home in Savion. Apparently that's a wealthy area. And he only makes $500,000 a year, Nebuch, and his wife can't get used to living in poverty. Only makes $500,000 a year. So she's going to have to move back to America. She can't take... As far as he's concerned, he'll wear the same jeans that he wears in America. He'll wear in Eretz Yisrael. He'll live on the Tzidis and Eisen. But he says his wife can't get used to living in poverty, so he has to come back. But that's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. If there's an alternative, a person can make $1 million in America, $500,000 in America. $500,000 is not enough to live on during the year. So that's an unreasonable, that's not a valid reason to move back there to Chutzlar. But let that person will not make a living in Eretz Yisrael. So then the Paschal, then the Pesachit Shuvah says, to move to Eretz Yisrael, to live off of charity, that's an Ishkin Mitzvah. The Mitzvah, if it's going to be a normal living. So the Chayyadim has the suffering. So he writes in the footnote on the bottom of it, what is it called? The Poel Tzedek, I think. The Sefer on Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. I think it's called Poel Tzedek or something. So in the very end, I think it's next to the last page, has a long footnote. I think it's the last footnote in the Sefer. And he writes, Achaz Man Rav Matzosi, the Medrash Bereshis Rav, at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, answers his question. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avraham Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael to leave the old man behind. And the Rebbeinu Shlom told Avraham Avinu, it's only to you that I'm telling this. And to no one else. No one else is allowed to go there to Eretz to leave the parents behind. So that's how he understood the Medrash Rabbah. He understood it as saying that by all other people, the Kibbut Aviyim takes precedence over the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Except for this occasion, the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted to found the Jewish nation. So he told, like, once Avraham Avinu to go there to Eretz to begin Yesh Miyayim, the Klal Yisrael. So now it was an exception to the rule. But normally he holds that it's not. So others look at that Medrash Rabbah and they say they don't think that that's what it means. They think the Medrash Rabbah means in Gansan a different thing. I'm not talking about the issue of Kibbut Aviyim versus the Aliyah. Medrash Rabbah means about a Gersh and his Gayer, is there a din of Kibbut Av by a Gersh and his Gayer. So the Medrash Rabbah says, by another Gersh and his Gayer, there is a din of Kibbut Av, Nidirabbanon, Kibbesh Aviyomah, Banam Kedusha Chamor, Kedusha Kalam. Medrash Rabbah doesn't give any reason, it just says, I only permit you to leave the father, I don't permit anybody else. So others interpret, this is what it means. I don't permit any other ger to ignore the parents, because even though it's not his parents, but the Rambam is quoting this Medrash Rabbah, Kadesh HaLeYonru, so we say Midrabbanan, he's still related to the parents, he has to observe, keep it out Midrabbanan. But you, it's B'mokah Mitzvah. B'mokah Mitzvah, even if it would have been a Jewish family with parents and children, the Makam Mitzvah does not keep it up. That's why Avraham Avinu was the exception to the rule. Not because it's founding the Ummah Yisraeli. Because there's no keep it up, the Makam Mitzvah. But not, so that's probably the Makam for this Rambam. The Rambam says that the keep it up Aviyim applies even by a Gersh and his Gair, and the parents are still Nachrit. The parents are still Nachrit. So the Rambam says he still has to treat them like parents. He has to treat them properly. Kadesh Olayon, Rabbana Mekdusha Hamur, Lekdusha Kavah. How? No, why not? You have Midrashim like that. How does he say, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I only allow you. Yeah, the Midrashim put, the Agadat is Nigmar also put words into the mouth of the Rebbeinu Shalom that he's talking about Dinam Derabbanan also. Yeah. You have a lot of times Midrashim like that. It means the Chachamim were Mishar, that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom would have wanted. All the mitzvahs from the Rabbanan. Because the Chachamim HaMishai, that's what Kibar Yochel would please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they put this into the mouth of the Rebbeinu Shlom, that's what he said. Oila Imo, yeah, they need a rest. Oila Imo, they need a rest, and he's like this. If her family was wealthy Gvirin, and his family was poor, or his family was wealthy and her family is poor. So Oyla Imo, if she's from a poor background, she goes to his higher standard of living. Lady Aredithim, if her family was wealthy, then the husband has to support the wife on the fancy style of living that she was used to. Her parents always bought her a lot of dresses and a lot of jewelry and always vacations in Eretz Yisrael and Switzerland and Mexico and whatever. So if he can afford it, if the husband can afford it, so he has to treat the wife to that style, to the more expensive style of living that she was used to. But over here, $500,000 a year is not enough. What do you mean? Neither parents made more than $500,000. Neither parents made such money. He happens to be a big doctor, so he makes so much money. So why can't they make do with that? No. It's a question? Okay. That's a good question.
What about fables from our traditions got here for those people that are because of Kippur Na'am?
I mean, the Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh, the light level of Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh should apply, keep it out of the head. I don't know. I don't think so. I think the Pasuk say that if, I don't know why, it's a good question, why don't you say, Shelo Yom Rabbanu B'Kedusha Hamon B'Kedusha Ta? I think the later Pasuk can just say, the Ramah quotes a Tshuvas HaRosh in the end of Yeredeya, that even if a dear friend dies, and someone wants to volunteer to observe Avelis, so that's not a Reis Gevorfen, there is a Kiyum in observing Avelis, even for a dear friend. So that's what they say, that if an adopted child feels that they'd like to observe Avelis for the adopted parent, Al Pidin, there's no obligation to observe Avelis, they're not related at all. But if they want to volunteer, so that's the proper thing that they should volunteer. So they say the same is true regarding a Nochrish and his guide. If he wants to volunteer to observe Avelis, there would be a keel, like if a dear friend dies. There would be a keel. So you're asking, why shouldn't it be a keel because of the Kedei Shel Yom Rabbanu B'Kedusha Hamor, the Kedusha Kala? This I don't know. It's an interesting question. No.
So why should
the
Lord, the
Chazan Fez, be worse than the Kedusha Kala? Well, the Chazan Fez is Neshkin Balaver. He's not doing anything. If he's an Elach HaNesh, he's a nice guy, he doesn't do it.
But I'm saying, only if he's a nice guy.
What if he's a gangster? So then if his father would be a Jew, he'd be a gangster, he'd be a horse thief or something. There would, yeah, there wouldn't be any Indian at all. Yeah. They keep it out.
Is this also quite the way he starts in disrespect?
Or a makla over the imay. There's an issa. There's a mitzvah says it to be mechaber the parents, and there's an issa.
But so why is that? Is not saying so. It's the
what's the shaila? He has to respect the goyish father because of the mitzvah. So what's the difference? Whether he has the issa or not? It's all mitzvah rabbanan anyway. It's just Kadesha Layamru, the Rama writes. It's not a Dinda Nakhir. That's to show respect to the Nakhri, to the father who's a Nakhri. At the last OU convention, Rabbi Heshi Weinreb told over a very fascinating story about this topic, about Kibbut Aviyein by a Ger. He said that years ago, he visited, because the Steichelmer died around 18 years ago. He said he visited Bnei Brak years ago, and he said, you know, in Bnei Brak, almost all the people dressed the same. On Shabbos, black suits and white shirts and black hats. He says he was looking out the window of the home where he was staying for Shabbos, and he sees a man on the other porch, on the other side, wearing a checked light jacket, smoking a pipe on Shabbos afternoon on a rocking chair, with yellowish hair, without a yarmulke. He didn't have this man fit in with the rest of the people in Bnei Brak. So he asked his host, here's the Balach Sanya, who is this? So he says it's a whole story that there was a Jewish boy from Eretz Yisrael, non-observed, who went to France to medical school, and he married a non-Jewish girl, a student in the medical school also. They both graduated, both became doctors, and then they moved back to Eretz Yisrael. She was not Jewish, and he was Jewish. After a couple of years, the boy became a Chozer B'Tshuva. He felt bad. What did he marry? A Shiksen. So he convinced the girl that she should become Jewish. So the girl converted. Then they both became more observant, until they reached the point there's no other place, they must move to Bnei Brak. So then the mother died in France. The parents were Catholics. The mother died in France, and the father was an old man, and he couldn't take care of himself. So there were brothers and sisters in France. No one wanted to take care of the old man, the father. So they had a shaila, is she allowed to take him? She's prepared to take in the father, the Catholic father. So they had a shaila, is she allowed to take in the kafah? So the only one who can pass in any shaila is the stifler. So they went, this was, the stifler died 18 years ago. So they went to ask the stifler. So he said, Avada, didn't keep it out of here.
What is the shaila?
No shaila, she didn't know that they did. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch quote that there's a mitzvah of kibud av v'yeh. No, some people have the attitude, some people think mistakenly, that after one converts, he's not allowed to have any contact whatsoever with the non-Jewish parents. So that's a mistake. It says in Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Rambam, and the Rambam is quoting from this Medrash, that with the Rabbanan, the stiller did it kibud av v'yeh on the parents. So she had the non-Jewish father move in, and he used to smoke his pipe on Shabbos afternoon on her porch, right, in the middle of an Ebrach, right? That's what the stifler said, that he has to take it. So then, as the years were going on, the father was coming closer to his end, and he realized he's going to come to the Yom HaDin, to the Olam HaEmes, and they're going to find out whether he was a Roman Catholic or not. So he decided he wanted to go to church. So they had a shaila, number one, where is there a church? Where is there a Catholic church? Anywhere near Bnei Brak? And shaila number two, is she allowed to drive the old man to the church? So they went to ask the stifler, what should they do? So Heshi Weinreb says, Stifler answered, Alarishan Rishan, Alarachman, he says, yeah, there's a Catholic church in Ramat Gan. He says, no one knows how Stifler knew there was a Catholic church in Ramat Gan. He said, had Ruach HaKodesh there. Turned out that there was. And then number two, she allowed to drive, it's up to you. She should drive the father up to the block away, and the father walk into the church. So every Sunday, she would drive the father up, here we go. Then a couple of months went by, whatever, a year goes by, and the father's already so old and so weak, he can't walk the block by himself. He needs someone to carry him up the steps, to walk him with this up the steps to the church. He had to go ask the stifler the wife. He said, no, that she's not allowed to do. She should park the car in front of the church and let the shamas from the church come out and take him up. So till the day that he died, she took him to church every Sunday morning. The story is tamua. Rabbi Weinreb said, the story is tamua. That's the Tosfos Samach Gimel on the days. That's the famous Tosfos. The last four lines. The Afalpish and the Shatm Shem Sham Dovrecher, the Ashkechon, the also living Lachem the Shatm with Nibelek, the Benenerch, the Huzeru Al Kach. The Benenerch are not forbidden to violate Shittur. The last two lines in text, that's what it sounds like. That's how the Ramor quotes this. The Ramor in the Dark Emotion. Ramon, the other day, it doesn't really say it, but the Shachot, the Ramon, the Dark Emotion on the tour, says it explicitly, and the early Poskim said like that, based on the Ramon's understanding of Tosis, that if a Nochri worships an idol, a pestle, that's Avodah Zarah. But if the Nochri worships the invisible God in heaven, the Shutvis, together with the Son, the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, so Tosis says, as long as they're worshiping the Father also, he's one of the three partners. So the Tosfos holds that that's not a violation of Avodah Zarah for a Nochri. For us it is, for them it's not. The later Achrayim held that that was a mistaken reading in Tosfos, that that's not what Tosfos meant, Chas V'Shalom. Tosfos says, we never found anywhere, the Menenach Lehuzeru Al-Kach, we never found that it's a prohibition for a non-Jew to swear the Shem Avodah Zarah, the Shittuf Avodah Zarah, but to worship Avodah Zarah, the Shittuf, Chas v'shalom, Tosfos never said that. They would never say that. They're talking about swearing b'shem Avodah Zarah b'shittuf. Right. You're not allowed to make a shittuf with a nochri. That's the topic of the Tosfos. The Tosfos means, there's no difnei b'disita mirshol because I'm causing the nochri to swear. I know in advance that he's going to swear by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's not doing, from his perspective, he's not doing an aver. But if he would worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then Tosfos would also agree that it's prohibition. So that's how the later Achrayim said. The Rav Soloveitchik said the Rav Chaim claimed that it was this misunderstanding of Tosfos was Kishkoga Hayotze Melifnei Hashalit. He said that the early Achrayim misunderstood Tosfos Nachas V'Chalila cannot be. That's how the Minchas Chinuch and the later Poskim from the last 200 years. The later Poskim say that that's the Pshat. The early Achrayim all went along with the Ramah's understanding of Tosfos. The later Poskim questioned whether that's what Tosfos meant. 2 weeks ago, we raised a problem in connection with this Gemara. Nachamal, Tosfos quoted a Gemara in Yevamos Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. Gemara says that by Bnei Noach, they only have relatives from the father, from the mother's side. They have no such thing as relatives from the father's side. And you shouldn't think that it's because they're Shtufei Zima. How do you know if they had the same father? Maybe this child is from one father, that child from another father. No, the Gemara says even if they're even if they're identical twins, and you know that the mamash biologically they're from the same father, al pi din, they don't have any kurv from the father. Rachmona afkere lezare, the Torah has declared that they're not considered kroivim, mitzad ha'av, and in Eloshim b'ni Adam, in Adas b'ni Adam, there's no kurva from the father's side. That's what it says in the Gemara Yivam, the Daf Tzadik Zayin on the base. So we mentioned that the Keren Oira has a Sefer on Yivamas. And the Keren Oira usually wrote only on the Kochim book in the Sikh, but Yivamas he also wrote on. Yivamas and Adorim. Nazir is also Kochim. He wrote on Yivamas and Adorim, and all the others are on Kochim. So the Keren Oira is bothered with Akasha. There is the famous Gemara at the end of Perek HaPoal Yivim Toi, where the Gemara discusses the mitzvah period of review. So the Gemara has the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh. What if a non-Jew had a son and a daughter before he converted? And then he converts. So is he in fulfillment of the mitzvah period of review with the children that he had before? So Rabbi Yochanan says yes, and that's how we pass from like Rabbi Yochanan. Shlokesh says no, because Gershon is Gayer. Kekotin Shanel Adom, he says, not related to those children anymore. So for some reason or another, Rabbi Yochanan chose to ignore the Gershon is God, Kekotin Shanel Adom. That's the question why. So the Gemara says, but this Psak of Rabbi Yochanan, that the father is Yotzei with the children that he had, the Yosel Nochri, the Rambam says only if the children also converted. The children didn't convert. He's not Yotzei. And the Vilna Gaon says that that's not what the Rambam says. Shaila, whether the children also have to convert. Are you Yotzei if the children didn't convert? The Pashto says in the Shulchan Aruch only if the children also convert. You're not Yotzei with non-Jewish children in the mitzvah period really. That's Pashto Shach. The Vilna Gaon says not. So the Gemara says, "Bamed bar mamurim." When does Rabbi Yochanan Shita apply? When do we paskin like this? That's what it says in the Berez in Siman Aleph. When do we say that he's yotze with the children that he had in Nachu Yuso? That's only if he was a Ben Chorin. Only the Yosa Nachri. But if he was an Eved and he had children, the Yosa Eved, and then they were all Nishtacharu. Let's say the father was Nishtacharu, the children are Nishtacharu. Then he's not Yotze with the children that had the Yoso Eved, because we have a klal. Hakol moidin be'eved she'en lo yachas. Dechsib shvulach hanpoyim ha'chamor, ha'badayim ha'chamor. So therefore, the children were never related to him in the first place. Even the Yoso Eved, they were never related to him. So even if you ignore Gershon, his God cut in Shanol Adomi, still, Rabbi Yochanan ignores it with respect to the principle of mitzvah spirit of Rivya. He ignores Gershon, his God, for some reason or another. But Afilu b'Yosef Eved, the children are not Mesiachas after the father. So therefore there's nothing to discuss. He cannot, Eved Shenishtachrer will not be in fulfillment of the mitzvah period with the children that he had before. Only a Nochri. So what do you mean? So you see that the Nochri is related to the children. And the Gemara says that it is true, as it says, in Malachim Beis, chapter Chaf, Va'ithahi, Shalach v'rodach v'lodan ben v'lodan melech v'ovu v'gemer. So you see that he's called Belodan ben Belodan. He's Mishachas after his father. And the Gemara, someone mentioned last week, the Gemara says, Hakum Yerush Yisalvi V'Dratar. It's also on the same dot. The Kiddush is also at the end of the first paragraph. The Nachri has a din of Yerusha. Not only that, the children Yarshan the mother, the children Yarshan the father. They see that there is a Kurvas Bishpacha between the father and the children. That's the Gemara on Salat Beis on the Aleph and Yivam. So how can the Gemara say on Tzadik Zayin on the Beis that there's no Kurvas Bishpacha between the, by Nachri, between the father and the children, only between the mother and the children? It's against the halacha. It's against the halacha. That's the Keren Oira's kasha. So we started to say over at Teres last week, 2 weeks ago, but I never got to it. So I mentioned the Gemara has on Omid Beis, on Nun Ches on the Beis, before the wide lines, four lines before the lines become wide. Amar Rav Chisda, we have the tiny letter base. Eved, and Eved Kanaini, Mutav Be'imoi, Umutav Be'bito. He's permitted to marry his mother. Mamish, a blood relative, is permitted to marry his daughter. Why is that? Because he's Nishtahin and Nishtaher. He's Nishkin Nochri, and he's Nishkin Yisrael. He's Yotzim Echlal Nochri. Well, Echlal Yisrael, like Bob. What in the world is that all about? So the Minchas Chinuch on Mitzvah Aleph, on Mitzvah Spirit of Rivya, Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out. Minchas Chinuch on Mitzvah Aleph, notice that there seems to be a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam how to understand this Gemara. The Rashi just has one line here, Mutter be'imoi and mutter be'bitoi, the Rashi is 15 lines after where it should have been. Rashi is 15 lines after that line in the Gemara. Ibrahim Maskel here, Evet K'nai Nishal Yisrael, he writes. Evet K'nai Nishal Yisrael, where it says on the left column, Nidu Yud Gimel. And Masoris HaShas on the left side, it says Nidu Yud Gimel. So he has, Evet K'nai Nishal Yisrael, Mutter be'imoi be'bitoi be'koshtu mishar reishal kurba, Yotze Mechlau Kusi, Upok Hashem Be'nerach Menei, V'lchlau Yisrael Lobo, the Ligz Alei, Alei Mishum Dishem Ayom, Reboi Mekdusha Hamur, Alekdusha Kala. So the Minchas Chinuch points out that the Rashi, this Rashi, seems to understand the following. The Eved, while he's still an Eved, he's also Be'im or Be'bito. He's not allowed to marry his mother and his daughter. He's going in Eved Shem Ishtachrer. Calls man that he's in Eved, he's also Bima Bebita. But when he's Nishtachar, I apply the Klal, Gershon is Gair, Kukot Nishan Ola Domi, because Gershon is Gair applies in two cases, when a non-Jew converts to become a Jew, or when a Ger, or when an Eved K'naini is freed and it becomes the Yisrael Gomer. So in either case he say, Kukot Nishan Ola Domi, whoever he was related to before, he's no longer related. So if it would be a Nochri Shin is Gair, then midirabbanon min haTorah he's allowed to marry all the relatives. Midirabbanon is forbidden. Kedei shelo yom rabbanon b'kedusha hamur l'kedusha kala. But if he's an eved shen ishtachrer, so min haTorah you say kakot nishanel adami, and Rashi says in midirabbanon you don't yet have this chumrit to say the ligzalei alei v'chal yisrael leibo the ligzalei alei mishum nishem yom rabbanon b'kedusha hamur l'kedusha kala. You don't, huh? Yeah, I said over the case wrong. Let me start again. I said over the case wrong. There are three ways of Gershon is Gair. There are two ways in the Gershon. One is if a Nochri converts to become a Jew. One is if a Nochri converts to become an Eved K'naini. A Nochri has all, a mother and sisters and aunts and uncles, a whole family, 100 relatives. And then this Nochri sells himself as an Eved K'naini, becomes an Eved K'naini. So then when he becomes an Eved K'naini, you say Gershon is Gair. He's talking when he becomes an Eved K'naini, not when the Eved K'naini is Nishtachar. So the Rashi seems to learn, if while he's in the state of Eved K'naini, he has a wife, and he has a mother, and he has children, and he has cousins, and everything, so Rashi seems to learn, then he's not allowed to marry the mother and the daughter. He's not Muta B'imum, Muta B'bito. Rashi learns the Imum Bito that he had, B'yosa Nachri. And now he was nishtabit. Now he sells himself as an Eved K'naini. And he has milun tefillah l'shem Eved K'naini. And now you say, Gershon is Gair K'kot Nishan Ola Domi. So min haTorah he's no longer related. And then let's say the other people also converted to become, the whole family decided to become Eved K'naini Shivcha K'nainis. So you say K'kot Nishan Ola Domi on everybody. So min haTorah everybody's allowed to marry everybody else. Do you have the Yisad Rabbanan? So that's where Rashi says, no. The L'chal Yisrael Leibo, he's still in the state, he's in between, he's in limbo, he's only in Eved K'naini. So the Chumr B'Dirabonon, the Ligzalei Alei, Mishum Shem Yom Aboy, Mekdusha Chumul Mekdusha Kalo, that they never introduced by a Nochri Shanasa Le'Eved K'naini. They only made that by Nochri Shanin Gayer, who became a Yisrael Gomer. But if he converted to become from a Nochri in Eved K'naini, the Din Deraisa says that all the relatives are no longer related, and the Chumr B'Dirabonon Shel Yom, they never introduced. That's how Rashi learned. So from the Rashi it would appear that if the Eved has relatives, be also Eved, there's no Kotin Shinomidomi involved, so he's not allowed to live with the mother or the daughter. Also the Imam Bebita. The Rambam does not quote it the way Rashi says, that it's talking about the relatives that he had, the Osa Nochri, and that he was in his Gaira to become an Eved K'naini, and he didn't become an Yisrael Gomer, so he's in between, so you have the Din Deraisa, Kotin Shinomidomi applies, and the Chumr B'Dirabbanon of Shema Yom, Rabbanon B'Dushma, they never introduced. No! Rambam says in Eved, Muta Bima, Muta B'Bitoi. Rambam quotes it. Eved is Muta Bima, Muta B'Bitoi. And he says it's Muta and all the relatives, V'yei Roy Ali, the Rambam writes. I think the Rambam in the whole Mishnah Torah only has 98 places, they counted it up. But he writes, Yei Roy Ali. The Rambam writes, Yei Roy Ali, in his humble opinion, he thinks that even though the Eved is Aser, even though the Eved is Mutav and all the relatives, he thinks that he's also to practice Mishkav Zohar, Mishkav Behemah, and Eishas Ish. So the Rabbi writes, of course he's also. Well, what's the Chiddush? The Rambam had to write Yeroy Ali. The Rambam writes, the only people that he's Mutav in, Mutav Ima, Mutav Bito, is mutter in the relatives that are asa, because everything lo yachas. So everything goes, everything is mutter. But if it's an isi gili arayt, shalai machmas yachas, it's not machmas kurva like mishkan zoch, mishkan beva, neshi zish. So he writes here, Roya Lee, the peladik at perik yud dalit, and he said, yeah, locha yud ches, the Roya Lee, shimbo ha-evet ala zoch, ala behemo, yehargu, she isi shtei arayis eilu shrovi b'chol adam. And same thing as shizish has nothing to do with Eved Eino Yachas. The Raivid is mashing on the Rambam, it's such a din poshut. Why did he write the Roya Lee? The Raivid writes, because of her Raivid zal, zelo tzorach afilu the tinoikais. Little children know that, that's elementary. What did he have to write the Roya Lee? Chi mishum kurva nesru eilu, shiyu eilu meruchokim. It's a din poshut like that. There's such a Rambam in Hilchas Macholos HaSuris also. There's a Rambam back there. Truma is bottled the mayor. So the Rambam writes the Roya Lee that it's only min b'mino, min b'shein b'mino, you need a shishin. So the Rambam asks, what do you mean Roya Lee? It's enough in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Trumas. So the case the Mishnah stands on his head to farem for why the Rambam wrote Roya Lee, it's not so muchach. The Rambam Holly wrote Roya Lee, but some of the times that he wrote Roya Lee, we don't even understand why he wrote. Anyway, but from the way the Rambam writes it, the Rambam writes that the Eved is mutter to marry all of the relatives, but also Eved, he doesn't quote like Rashi, that it's talking an Eved, Shenase Eved, he started off as a Nochri, and it was in his Gair, and it's Kekotin Shenolot, so they have the Din Berais, the Kekotin Shenolot applies, and the Chumar with the Rabbanah doesn't apply, it doesn't write like that. So the Minchas Chinuch HaMitzvah Aleph, on the Mitzvah Pir Merivya, talks about the Din of Eved, and Eloyahah, so he says, it seems to him to be a Machloikas Rashi in the Rambam, how to read this Gemara. The Rambam holds Eved Mutter Bima Mutter Bebita, Eved Ein Lo Yachas. So everything goes. He's allowed to marry his mother, he's allowed to marry his daughter. And Rashi holds not so. So what's Takashita's Rashi? Either Halacha says Eved Ein Lo Yachas. Eved Ein Lo Yachas. So why isn't he Mutter? What does Rashi have to command to Kekot and Shenoel Adam? He used to be a Nochri, he was related to that. And then he was Nasa Eved, you say Kekot and Shenoel Adam. What do you need that for? Zoged Eved Ein Lo Yachas, so he's allowed to marry Imo Bito. Why does Rashi have to give such a case? It's only Mutter here. So the Minhas Chinuch writes a Svara. That apparently there are two Chalashemis of Mishpacha. Zvei Dinim, that's what Rav Soloveitchik is like this Minhas Chinuch. Minhas Chinuch says there are two Chalashemis. There's a Chalashem Kurva of Sher Basar, a Chalashem Kurva of Mishpacha. The Gemara has a Din. Mishpacha Sav Kruy Mishpacha, Mishpacha Seim Eina Kruy Mishpacha. The mother's family is called Sher Basar. And Achri Moshe Kedoshim, Achri Moshe says, Ishi Shol Kol Sher Basar Lasikavu Lagalas Avigili Arai is a function of Kurva of Sher Basar. So Sher Basar applies equally, mother side, father side, they're both Sher Basar. You don't say Mishpacha Seim Eina Kruy Mishpacha. Where do you say Mishpacha Seim Eina Kruy Mishpacha? When you determine is he a Koina Levi or a Shevet Zvulun, Shevet Yisachar, so that's the Mishpachoisim Levei Zavoisim, that's a function of Mishpacha. Or Yerusha. Yerusha says, the Rambam holds Psuliyedis, Minatora. The Rambam holds that relatives from the mother's side are only Psuliyedis with the Rabbanon. Relatives from the father's side are Psuliyedis, Minatora. The Rambam holds, based on the Mishnah and Sanhedrin in the third period, that Kraven with respect to Psuliyedis is also a function of Mishpacha. But Kraven with respect to Gili Harais is a function of Sher Basar. So the so you see such a halacha that Mishpacha Sabkri, Mishpacha Sein, Ein Akri, Mishpacha, but it is Sher Basar. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests, that apparently Rashi is of the opinion that Eved Ein Lo Yachas, the Gemara says there in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, that the Eved cannot, where does the Gemara say Eved Ein Lo Yachas? The Gemara says Eved Ein Lo Yachas, that he's not yet superior with the children that he had, the also Eved. Why? Because Eved Ein Lo Yachas. So the Minchas Chinuch says, Rashi apparently understood that in order to be yet superior Rivi, you have to have a kurva of Mishpacha. The father, the mother's not mechuyev in Pirurim, the father's mechuyev, men are mechuyev. So the father has to have a kurva of mishpacha with his children. If he's an eved, so he doesn't have mishpacha, all he has is sher basar, so the kurva of sher basar is not enough to be able to Pirurim Riv. So Rashi Shita is that the kurva of sher basar you have, just like mishpacha saying. There's no chalashem kurva of mishpacha, but there is a chalashem kurva of sher basar. The Rashi Shita apparently is in this Gemara that Eved, despite the fact that Eved Ein Lo Yachas is no Chalashem Kurva Mishpach, but there is a Chalashem Kurva of Sher Basar, the Rashi holds Basa Bimo Bebito, because Gilei Arayis is a function of Sher Basar. Sher Basar he does have. The only time is mutter bebita beima is a special case. If he had the relatives, then he became an eved afterwards. They say katan shenar l'dov. That's how the Minhas Chinah points out this machlokes Rashi and the Rambam and the Gemara. It could well be, with respect to this question that the Keren Ori asked, a murderous contradiction between the two Gemaras. The Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis says beferish that by Bnei Noyah there is a korban to the father's side, by Ebed not, and by Ben Noyach there is. And the Gemara says on Tzadik Zainam and Beis that there's absolutely no korban. There the Gemara quotes one pasuk. Rachmana Afkere Lizari, as it says, Vizir Masusim Zir Masim. Here the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Beroidach Beladin Ben Beladin, that there is a korban from the father's side. That's Astira Gemara, the psukim in the Gemara. So perhaps this is the answer. That Bnei Noyach have a korban from the father's side. This Gemara in Yevamos Samach Beis is talking about being Yotzei Pirei Berivya. So when you get to Pirei Berivya, it's a function of Mishpacha. And that Gemara Tzadik Zayin is talking about Gilei Arayish, that the relatives, who's allowed to marry, who's not allowed to marry, that the twin brothers allowed to marry each other's wives. So there the topic is Gilei Arayish. And maybe that's what the Gemara means to say. There is no kurva of Sher Basar from the father's side, but there is a kurva of Mishpacha. A little strange. See, the other way makes more sense, to say that there's a kurva of Sher Basar, but there's no kurva of Mishpacha. That yeah, Mishpacha Sayin made it for you, Mishpacha, but it is Sher Basar. You have a Rashi by the Eved. Say Eved has a kurva of Sher Basar. He doesn't have the kurva of Mishpacha. Mishpacha is something higher. Here we're trying to say by a Benoyah, by the father's side, there's only Mishpacha and there's no Sher Basar. And maybe that's the Teretz. Maybe that's what you have to say over here. This may be relevant halacha lemaisa with respect to artificial insemination. The Shmuel in Ebenezer and Simon Aleph. The Chelkas Machoikik and the Beishmo, the two standard commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, Ebenezer, discuss the issue of artificial insemination. If a woman became pregnant, not in the normal fashion. The Sabra Bambati, as they call it, the Sabra Bambati. So the Chelkas Machoikik in Sivkot Meches writes, Yeshle his Tapek is not sure. If the woman is in Sabra Bambati, whether the father, who is genetically related, he's clearly biologically the father of the child, is he in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pirei Berivya? What's the suffix, whether he is or he's not in fulfillment? So the Pashto says whether that's the way the Beis Shmuel takes the suffix, whether the Vlad is Misachis Achra, but Nevet Kanaini, the Gemara says, is not in fulfillment, because the Vlad is not Misachis Achra, Ebedei Lo Yachas. But Nachri is in fulfillment, because the Nachri's children are Misachis Achra. So he's Mesupik by Hazor Malachusis, is the same over here. That's what the Pasuk Mesupik, the same as in Sabra Bambati. Whether the Vlad is Misachis after the father, he's not sure. So the Beis Shmuel wants to be Poshet, the Suffolk of the Chelkas Mechaikik. He quotes that one of the Bali Atesis writes the Feirish that if in Sabra Bambati, the brother is not allowed to marry the sister. Let's say this woman had a child, a normal child with a husband. And then she became the Sabra Bambati from Zera, from Ishachir. So nobody violated Gilei Arayis. They don't even know who each other are. They had no shaykhs with each other. But she came pregnant from someone else's Zera. So the Beis Shmuel quotes from the Smak, from the Agos Smak, that the brother is not allowed to marry the sister. They're considered related. But just because they're related for purposes of Gilei Arayis doesn't necessarily mean that the father is Yotzei Pirei Berivya. It could be that they're related means that there's a kurva, there's a chalashem kurva of Sher Basar. But just because the Sher Basar doesn't necessarily follow that it's Mishpacha. For the purposes of fulfilling Pirei Berivya, the Gemara says you have to have Mishpacha. It's not enough to have a Shem Sher Basar. It could be that it's not the same. That's a major question. Let's say a Kohen is married and he's unable to have children, Kedera Kaloilam, so they do artificial insemination from the husband to his own wife. Not from a stranger, from the husband to his own wife. But that's not so Pashut that the children are Mesiachas after the father. Could well be that the children are not Kohen. Could be that the children are related to each other, that it's a kurb of Sher Basar, but it doesn't necessarily, that's what the Beis Shmuel quotes, that it's Sher Basar, he quotes from Agos Mak, but it doesn't necessarily prove the point that there's a kurb of Mishpacha. And in order to be considered a Kohen, a Levi, Shevet Zvul and Shevet Yisrael, you have to have Mishpacha Yisam Leveis Avois. That's not enough just to be called Sher Basar. See, that's the Shiloh. Let's say if a married woman has artificial insemination from someone else, would the child be a mamzer or not? So Moshe Feinstein writes a double portion that the child will not be a mamzer because nobody violated Gilei Arayis. You can't be a mamzer if you didn't violate Gilui Arayis. So Rabbi Yosef Engel, who died 90 years ago, 80 years ago, writes, and he has a sefer on Oris on the Avne Miluim. The introduction, he writes, he didn't feel well, so he wasn't, the doctors told him he shouldn't use his eye, so he had somebody read for him, light reading. So they were reading Avne Miluim. That was the light reading. And he was dictating, he couldn't read, so he was dictating Oris. And he was shooting off Oris, and the other one kept on writing. And then after he got better, he looked over the whole sefer, and every chapter, every paragraph was numbered, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, everything has a number, it goes till 200, whatever. And then, after he was able to see, so he read it over, the notes, and then he crossed out whatever he didn't like. So they printed it, it was later printed from the manuscripts, printed in America, the Chosin Yosef, the Ha'oris on the Avne Miluim. So it goes, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Yud, Dalet, Hezbov, Chof, Gimel. He crossed out whatever he didn't like later on. So you have, you skip the numbers, and you go by them. So in one of the Ha'oris, he discusses this topic. In order to, what if a woman is Nisabra Bambat? It means the woman did not violate Gilui Arayis at all. She became pregnant from Zera Ishacher other than her own husband. Would the child be a Mamzrana? So he says, if you look in Taisus and Yevamos, at the end of the first parak, Taisus, but Moshe Feinstein writes, how can it be a Mamzer? Nobody violated Gilui Arayis. So he points out that the Taisus on the last daf, in the first parak in Yevamos, Tezainam and Teis, Taisus Dima Masko Kosovar. So Taisus has two sheikhs about a certain topic, and then they write the Harishon Iker. That's the last word, the last two words in the Taisus, Dima Masko Kosovar, they write the Harishon Iker. They think the first sheikh is the more correct. So the two sheikhs that they write are exactly on this topic. In order to be considered a mamzer, is it necessary to have violated an avera? Is it possible that a couple lives a normal life, nobody violates any avera, and still the child is going to be a mamzer? Is that possible? So the first shita was, yes, that it is possible that mamzeris is not a function of having violated Gilui Arayis. And the second shita is, no, if they didn't violate any avera, so then the child is not going to be mamzer. So Taisus concluded with Harishon Iker. They think the first shita is more correct. So Yosef Engel says, Yosef Engel is talking about artificial insemination with Sabra Bambati. So he says, you see, just because no one violated any Gilui Arayis, it doesn't necessarily follow that the child is not going to be mamzer. He doesn't agree with Rav Moshe's tshuva. He thinks that the child could be a mamzer. So the justification that people argue to say that Rav Moshe may be right, v'lav mitamei, is the following. The truth of the matter is that this topic, that this issue that Taisus raised, is it possible to declare the child a mamzer if the parents didn't violate the aver of Gilui Arayis? So this issue really depends on the two girsas in the Gemara and Yevamos on Memhe and Beis. Rav Yosef Engel points it out in the Chosin Yosef. The Gemara there in Yevamos, Memhe Beis has like this, what's the din of an Akum who is Boal Eishes Ish Yisrael? An Akum attacks a woman. The Oymes, the Ratzim, doesn't make a difference. The Nochri is Boal Eishes Ish Yisrael, and they have a child. So the Gemara Paschus, Allah Almighty, says the child is not a man, despite the fact that it's an Eishes Ish. So the question is, why not? Why is the child not a man? So there are two Girsus in the Gemara. The way it's printed in the Vilna Shas is one girsa, and the Rashboa and Memhe and Beis quotes that the Gaonim had a totally different girsa. These two girsas represent two totally different shitas as to the definition of mamzeris, corresponding to the two opinions that the Taisus has over here. So the girsa that we have in the Gemara Memhe and Beis is that the child will not be a mamzer because the only time a child is a mamzer is when there was a violation of Gilui Arayis. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes. The only time the child is a mamzer is when it's Gilui Arayis. Gilui Arayis Hayes, when this man and this woman can marry anybody else, they're just not allowed to marry each other. But if the man is not allowed to marry anybody, the man is a Nachri. He can't marry any Jewish girl. So even though this woman is an Eishes Ish, that's not going to be called Gilui Arayis. Since he's also to everybody, so that's by definition not called Gilui Arayis. That's the Girsa that's printed in our Gemara. So the way it says in our Gemara, so Moshe Feinstein writes the Tshuva based on the Girsa that's printed in the Vilna Shas, that the definition of Mamzer is, it's a function of whether there was a violation of Gilui Arayis. So Moshe says by artificial insemination, there's no violation of Gilui Arayis. It can't be that the child is a Mamzer. That's what Rav Soloveitchik also said. For years he used to say he doesn't know what the din is by artificial insemination, whether the child is a Mamzer. And then after Rav Moshe printed the Tshuva, he said in Shir, he's masking with Rav Moshe, 100% Rav Moshe is right. The child is Nishke Mamzer. So Yosef Engel says, not so pashut. He says the Goyim had a different girsa in the Gemara. The Goyim's girsa was as follows. The definition of a mamzer has nothing to do with having violated Hilei Avayis. The definition of a mamzer is, like the Ibn Ezra says on Chumash, me'ein zar. If a child has a mother and a father who couldn't have had tvisis kiddushin with each other at the time that she became pregnant. So, but that's only if the child has a mother and a father who couldn't have had tvisis kiddushin. So what if the father's a nachri and the mother's Jewish? So what's the status of the child? So the mother's Jewish and the child is Jewish. If the child is Jewish, he can't be related to the father. The father's a nachri. There's no kurva between a nachri and Israel. So this child, al-Pidin, only has a mother, he has no father. Not like a yosim. A yosim, al-Pidin, is related to the mother and the father. Never the father died, the father gestorben. But here, al-Pidin, he has none. This is mamish, an immaculate conception. There's no father. There's only a mother. There's absolutely no father, al-Pidin. Biologically, there is a father, but al-Pidin, the child is absolutely not related to any father. So the Rashba has the Girsa Sargainim there, Mem, Hen, and Bey. That's why it's not a mamzer. The only time there's a mamzer is if there's a child who has, is related to a father, related to a mother, and the father and the mother couldn't have had tvisis kiddushin with each other. That's called Me'ein Zar, that's a mamzer. A strange mother, the father and the mother were strange to each other, they couldn't have had tvisis kiddushin with the brother and the sister, tenacious ish, or something like that. But if the father's a Nachri, so the father's not related to the blood. The blood is a Yisrael. There's no kurva between a Yisrael and a Nachri. So that's why in that case, the child would not be a mamzer by the Akam. Abba Basel, the child would not be a mamzer. Getting back to this case, let's say an artificial insemination. So others say that the child is not a mamzer. You don't necessarily have to go the route of Rav Moshe. See, Rav Moshe's explanation, nobody violated Gilei Arayis. How can you say that the child is a mamzer? That's only valid according to the Girsa that's printed in our Gemara, Mem Hei and Beis. But Tosfos says, you shouldn't follow that version. Tosfos says, Varisha Nikar. More correct is that you can have a state of mamzeres even though nobody violated Gilei Arayis. So then in the Sabra Bambati, artificial insemination, nobody violated Gilei Arayis, the child can still be a mamzer? That's what Rav Yosef Engel says. Others argue, no. It won't be a mamzer mitam acher, because in this case, it could well be that by artificial insemination, the child is not misyachis after the father. Al pidin, there's only a kurban to the mother, there's no kurban to the father. The only time you have kurban to the father, it is if it's nisabra kedera kol oila. But if it's nisabra bambati, artificially, then it could well be that there's no kurban to the father at all in such a case. That would be the same as akum habol bas Yisrael. That there wouldn't be any mamzer, because there is no father, there's only a mother. Not so pashut. The whole issue is not so pashut. Shlem is amun paskin nasa. He paskin the child is not a mamzer like Rav Moshe, but he paskin the child is misachas after the father. The children are kohanim, and they can duch, and they can get the first aliyah. That's, I'm not sure exactly what he thinks about the matter. So he doesn't think the way Rav Yosef Engel does, that's for sure. In this week's Sedra, the Torah tells about the Chet HaEgel. So the Chumash describes the way they were preparing to worship this Egel. So they were so worked up into a frenzy. So they woke up early in the morning by Yashkima Baboiker. They woke up early in the morning with a big mysterious nefesh by Yalu Olas, by Yisbuchu Zvachim, by Yeshu Lechol, by Yeshu Hazel, Lechol Balishtos, by Yakuma Litzachek. So one of the Bali Amusa pointed out a very interesting Musadika part that in the history of humanity over the generations, everybody always starts a new Krumashita, a new Apikursa Shishita, like communism, like the secular Zionism, like all the crazy movements that had namish no leg to stand on, stupidity. And it's like the Chet HaEgel, something like the Chet HaEgel. So when it starts off, but who said, Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool all the people some of the time, you can fool some of the people all the time, you can't fool all the people all the time. So you can start off with Groysis, Slavos, and everybody's going to wake up with Mesiris Nevesh, Vayashkim Ababoyker, it's going to be Hashkana Minyan, Vayalu, Oilos, it's going to start off everything, Kula Lashamayim, Oilos. But then after a while, it's going to become Vayizbuchu Shlomin, Oilos, Kula Lagavoyah. After a while, you can't fool all the people all the time. It can't be that they're going to maintain Islam, but they are with Israel. for the communism, for the Avodah, for the Egel Azov, for so long. So first it's going to start off, all Ruchnius. Then it's going to have a little Yerida, it's going to be by Yizbuch Hushlam, it's going to be half of it is going to be Lashamayim, and half of it is going to have Achilas Havailam. And then after a while that's going to become Opgekilt and Opgeshvach, and it's going to be by Yochlu, by Yishtu. They're going to just eat and drink. And after a while, it's going to be by Yakumu Litzachek. It's going to be Gilaraz just being constantly ridiculous. This one pasuk has the four madrigas, the way all false movements begin. You can't get the people to worship Abu Dhabi to get involved with some crazy thing unless you get them into a frenzy of some real and serious nefesh l'shem shemai. So it starts off purely in l'shem shemai. But it goes down from Madrega to Madrega, it goes down from the Be'ashkima, Vayalu Oilas, till the Zvachim, till the Akol B'Shel Sof, till it falls into Baikum Ulusati. That's the history of mankind.
The disciples that you should take it to the church, so that flies in the face of what the Rebbe said was the later day of Marina.
He could have taken a taxi anyway. The father could have taken a taxi. It's only listening to the Rabbanim doesn't apply to Yaakov. Could be. Rabbi Weinberg didn't know the explanation. He just said over the story, said he was wondering himself what the pshat. Could be that that's it. Chadi ben Nara doesn't apply to nothing.
And then you printed the Beis Yitzchak, I think, some additional addition to the Nefesh Rav, Menogim, or Bishop S. Alvechik,
Yeah, they're selling it there in the back.
Oh, they are.
They brought a cotton and they're selling it out. The latest one just came out last week, 2 weeks ago. Just came out.
Well, say, I'm wondering if you have any reprint of your
art. Oh, I can make you a reprint. If you're not interested in the rest, it's short, it's not so long. My piece is not so long. It's in Gunson at 15, 20 pages. I'll make a copy. Okay. Why does it remain? The Osa Nochri, there was no Kibbutz Av. After he was Gaia, the Kurva remained. See, from that Rambam, that Shalayom Rabbanim Kedusha Chamor Kedusha Kal doesn't mean whatever mitzvah he was mechuyev in before, he continues to say. He wasn't mechuyev before in Kibbutz Av. Just means that that's the reason why we maintain the Kurva, that we don't say Kekot Nushanel Adam. Before when he was a Nochri, he had a Kurva to the father. It was something. There was some kurva to the father, so we maintain the kurva now. So since now we maintain the kurva, some of the Rabbanan, we say he's still mechuyev. Now he's mechuyev, keep it up.